Hi, I'm Lori Lynn, a wife to my cowboy, a mama to some great kids, and a couple golden retrievers, a creative artist and certified interior designer who also owns a heart-centered design biz, a country gal and podcaster with a strong Minnesota accent. Pull up a chair, grab a hot coffee or a hot tea, and let's have a warm and cozy conversation. Welcome to Country Proud Living. This is episode 9, and it's my second interview, which is very fun. Today, I interview Carol Seideen, a local resident and retired teacher who's still very active in the community. We discuss the Minnesota State photo, which is called Grace. It was so fun to talk with her about it. She's actually been to the museum and toured it, and we really had a good conversation. It was very interesting. Everybody will recognize this photo, I believe. It was so fun to hear more about it. So sit back and take a listen. Carol Seideen is a 2018 inductee into the Howard Lake Waverly Winstead Hall of Fame. I'm going to read, there's a plaque actually that's in the high school, and I'm going to read a little bit about Carol on it. With enthusiasm, warmth, and a positive attitude, Carol Seideen dedicated herself to the education of Howard Lake Waverly Winstead first grade students for 34 years, from 1971 to 2005. Time spent in the classroom was only the beginning for Carol. Knowing the importance of literacy for kids of all ages, over the years, she has dedicated many, many hours outside of the classroom to support young learners. With her incredibly upbeat and positive personality, Carol continues to substitute teach and contribute her service as a volunteer for youth. Recently, she was the catalyst for a major expansion of the Little Free Library program in our area. She has done fundraising and increased awareness for other literacy programs in the community. Carol's service to others extends to her work in her church and with many different organizations. Her involvement in Howard Lake's Good Neighbor Days earned her parade grand marshal status for the event. Carol and her husband Neil were foster parents in Wright County and hosted many foreign exchange students from around the world. Carol has taught many to embrace their own uniqueness and to pursue their individual goals and develop their gifts so that they may live lives that are fulfilling and rich in meaning. She is a cheerleader for others, constantly encouraging them to build and use their talents and abilities. Her genuine, caring nature and her saying, "Make it a great day," has left a smile on the face of all those that she has touched. Well, today I'm sitting with Carol Seideen, and she and I connected a while back on a real fun topic, and it's about the Grace photograph, the state Minnesota State photograph. And I just wanted to ask Carol a little bit about her background and how she moved to the community, or if she's lived here her life. Maybe give me a little bit of background.
Okay, yeah. Good to visit with you. I came here as a first-year teacher in 1971. I grew up in Red Wing, Minnesota, and then went to St. Cloud State for my college. And then this was my first job. So I came here, and actually the school was transitioning from a Catholic school to the public school. So they hired 14 new teachers that year. So I was one of them, and I ended up staying here my whole career. I taught first grade the whole time I was here. And I love seeing those little kids grow and learn and say, "Oh, I get it. It's so dear to my heart." So I taught first grade 35 years, and then I subbed for 13. So nice. I've been around the community a long time, and I just love the family atmosphere and the town. So it's been really great to be around here. So I'm excited about that, and just being able to connect with a lot of people on a lot of interesting topics like the picture grace.
Yes, exactly. And you know a lot of people in the community, that's for sure.
Definitely.
From a young age all the way up, probably, too. Really? So, which yes. is such a fun thing to do. Wonderful. Well, we had connected, it was a few years ago, actually, at the Vintage Exchange. They have a flea market every spring and fall, and I had a booth at the time, and we had connected, and we must have had that photo, must have been near us or something, in a booth or yeah. something, where we both were commenting on it, and how we just thought it was such a neat picture. And
definitely.
You had mentioned that you had been to the actual museum that actually talks about it,
yes.
which was neat. And I, at the time, I don't think I realized how it was connected to Minnesota.
I had not realized that either. And so I learned a lot about it because I recognized the photograph or the picture from being in family homes, you know, of
yes.
my relatives mm-hmm. or friends, neighbors, whatever. It was a very traditional picture to have in your dining room.
Absolutely. I remember it too growing up. It was at our family farm north of Virginia, and it was in other photos or other homes, I should say. And it was always, it was kind of neat because there was such a connection to the home and family and comfort.
Definitely.
And every time I saw it, it was that kind of a feeling that you would get from the photo.
Right.
Which I think is neat.
It gives you such a good feeling when you see it. But I really didn't know much about it, or it's just, you saw it and it was
yeah.
like nice and,
mm-hmm.
you know, but our discussion was really fun
yes.
about that. And I did go to visit some friends up in Grand Rapids and staying up there for a few days. And it's like, okay, let's tour the area one
sure.
day. And she was taking me to some places that I probably had never been before. So we drove into this little town of Bovee, and it just caught me right away because how you have the welcome signs that are on the lamppost, they had the picture of Grace on there. And it was like, wow, I just never. And she goes, yeah, that's where this was from. And I was just, you know, amazed.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I love learning something new.
So
every
do
day.
I. I'm a lifelong learner, and
yes,
I love it.
I do.
Love it too.
So I was really intrigued by that. So she gave me a little background of what, you know, that mm-hmm. it was in this town and whatever. So we drove through town, got to see a little bit mm-hmm. of the, just the feel of the town and the different
sure.
things that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stopped at a, you know, an old, you know, like a vintage store or,
sure.
you know, a, and went in there. And there were several of them in town. And she just said, I think this one's the biggest and maybe has a lot on Grace. So we went in there and they had a variety of old things, you know.
Sure.
But they had tons of pictures of Grace. And so
cool.
we looked around at different things. And then they had a little book that I bought. And it's about a 20-page book of the story about the photograph and where it came from and the original, you
That's
know.
That's awesome.
Things.
I'm so glad somebody did a book about it.
Yeah.
Because it's
was
so
done,
important.
It was done by a man that was working kind of with the Historical Society of
oh,
that
neat.
Area or the Itasca County and putting it together. So it was just really helpful. And they had in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, postcards you could get of Grace or pictures, all different sizes.
Nice.
So it was really interesting. And I did end up buying one of the pictures
which
because,
is awesome.
You yeah. know, I never got one through
yeah.
my family or whatever. So, and really, it talked a lot about how they really weren't expensive paintings, even
mm-hmm.
though it's pretty famous even now.
Right.
It's like, they just, and I think the painter or the photographer really felt he wanted people to have them
yes.
more than make lots
yeah.
of money on it. So
right. A
I
mass
think,
appeal. He wanted it to be a message that everybody could have in their home. I,
definitely.
That's really
yeah.
neat.
So I was really
yeah,
thrilled to
that
get
is.
That, thrilled to get the story, and really
mm-hmm.
excited to be there and just experience this. This little town of Bovee, Minnesota is just kind of an out-of-the-way kind of
yes.
town. And, it, you know, being up on the Iron Range, it really got its growth through, you know, being you know, one of the Iron Range towns.
Right, the mining. All the mining.
People moved up there to work in the mining industry, and I think that's why the population kind of went up and down.
Sure,
you know,
over time.
Over time. And,
absolutely.
You know, people, you know, learning about, you know, getting there. But just, there's, it amazes me that they're still keeping that important history of this picture and in the heritage of the town still.
I'm so glad that somebody's done that, because it is such an important part of our history.
Yes.
And especially being part of Minnesota, it's really an important message for people to hear.
It definitely is. But I was intrigued by the photographer. So he kind of was born in Sweden.
Oh,
and he came over here when he was like 16.
Okay.
And then he did a lot of different things. I guess he went to the little town of Atwater, which isn't far from us.
Sure.
And worked on like things there to pay off his passage. And then he, you know, kind of moved around a little bit to some of the other areas, bringing him to Minneapolis to go to a photography school to learn the trade. And then, you know, meeting his wife and then moving, you know, further up north. She was from up north.
Oh,
so
she was.
They
neat.
Moved back up there and,
interesting,
you know, set up a photography studio. And he was just taking a lot of family pictures and things.
Which
and
was probably a big deal back then, because, you know, we all have the iPhones and the phones now. But back then it was a big deal to go get the family's photo taken. You know,
definitely. And another interesting thing, he was taking panoramic pictures.
Oh.
So he had to take a lot of small pictures and then put them all together to make this panoramic. And he did of like the mines or, you know, different towns to kind of use them for people to buy, you know. And so, but they ended up having six children and living in the building upstairs.
Wow.
And so kind of the story of his family, you know, and just kind of a family man, a very community-minded person and wanting to do a lot of
things. Wonderful.
And then a few years after they moved up there and he had really set up a lot of things, there was a fire in the town. So three buildings, I think it was, burned down. So one of them was the photography studio. He lost a lot of the stuff he had. But, you know, a lot of people have been giving back things that they had gotten of his work.
Oh, well, that's
so
good.
So I think, you know,
and at least this Grace photograph is such a legacy.
Yes.
But it's a shame to, you know, think of what he might have lost.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, this was taken after.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that he didn't lose that, but
thank
it was.
Goodness, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting just how all these things are put together. But
exactly.
The story that is from getting this photograph is that there's kind of like a peddler that was coming into town and selling different things. And so he just was invited to their house for meals and always kind of said a prayer with his meal. And so that's kind of how it got set up, that he goes, you know, he had a real eye for different things.
Sure.
And said, that would be just such a cool picture.
Yeah.
So setting up the picture with the book and the glasses and the guy praying and whatever.
Yeah.
But the book evidently is supposed to be a Bible, but I think it's a dictionary from what they said.
Oh, is that right?
They kind of
interesting.
Turned it to look,
look like a Bible,
To look like a Bible to make it more of a religious type picture. But yes, and how they took the
Neat. The inspiration is neat to hear.
He had such an eye for light and
The light in it is really beautiful.
Isn't it just cool? So took that. But they said his name was Charles Wilden, I believe it was.
Okay.
And that he, you know, would come into the community often, so he was kind of like you know. So
I bet he never imagined he would be in this iconic photograph forever and become, you know, Minnesota State photograph even.
Definitely.
Sure.
But I think in the story that built up later, several different people would write in and say, oh, but that was my relative.
Oh, sure.
It was a different name. And, you know, I think there were a lot of peddlers. that were going through so that they may have gotten the story of peddlers and
and assumed it was their family member or somebody they knew.
Yep. So, but I think it's, he kind of died as a, you know, just a not famous guy where now it really is, you know, so. But the first pictures that were done were in black and white.
Oh, sure.
And then sepia. And they, I kind of said that was kind of like the first of like five phases of this photograph.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's kind of how he started. And he kept a picture in the window of his photography studio so that people could see it and would come in and buy copies of it in all different sizes and whatever to have in their homes. So
cool.
But anyway, and then it got to the phase of where he was trying to, you know, keep busy or do some different things. So he started painting it by hand and taking a black and white copy and putting on color.
Oh, that's cool.
And to do that, so he had a daughter that would watch him do this, and she was just fascinated how he could make each picture just a little bit different in the color of the shirt or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that, because I remember, like, in the 50s, this is later than that, but where they would take black and whites and they would color them a little bit. Which was kind of a technique that people would do back then.
Yeah, so it sounded like the picture was really taken in like the 1920s. So kind of 20s to 30s, he was doing the black and white. And then 30s to 40s, he started painting on it.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, giving it some color. Well, then she got into it also and learned from her father how to do this.
Oh, cool.
And
so he passed it on.
Yeah, they were selling some of it. And there was a young lady in the community, a Margaret, that learned how to help do that. So then kind of in the 30s and 40s, they were selling the colored
picture. It's different back then because they couldn't reproduce like we can today.
Yep.
So they did need help to probably, you know, satisfy the tourists or the people in the area that wanted them for their home.
Yeah,
which is neat.
As more people started wanting to get this picture, evidently, then they started doing some lithographs.
Oh, sure.
And doing some of that to get out and having more copies available.
Sure.
So, but they, I think they're still trying to get some of people that might have them stored away or you know, in their junk drawers or whatever to get some more of those back of the ones that he originally did.
Well, and people who are thrifters or, you know, people who maybe have had one in their grandparents' home or whatever, they might want to hold on to it because it's got such a story to it. And it's such a humble photo. It's it just, like I said earlier, it just speaks of home, you know, to anybody who witnesses it or sees it.
Definitely. So I think it was, and I can't remember the date, he did make a copyright of it.
Oh, that's good.
So that it was eventually copyrighted.
Yeah.
That's
important. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah. So, and it ended up, you know, in the different things that he finally, before he retired, or at the time of his retirement, I think it was kind of in the late 40s, he sold it to Augsburg Publishing House.
Oh, well, that was smart.
And so that they were able to, and the kids were able to get some of the royalties.
Well, that's really important.
So,
it's glad, I'm glad he saw that for his, the future of it, you know, that he saw it was a legacy that he could pass on to his children.
Yeah.
So, so that's nice.
I think that's where it really expanded in tons of people being able to have it in their homes and
that's
be
awesome.
Able to know, you know, what it is and the beauty of it. So I found that really interesting and learning.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, all about
it. I love knowing that he was from Sweden because, you know, Minnesota's got a lot of Scandinavian people and it's just kind of a fun thing to know. And I didn't know that before.
Yep, he did go back to Sweden a couple of years before he died.
Okay.
And he died in, when he was 92 years old.
Oh, he lived a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat too.
I think it was just to see all these things happening, but to get back to his local area and connect with some of the people to kind of see, you know, what they have done in their lives. And
yeah, it would be interesting to, well, and you know people in Sweden, so it would be interesting to know how many people know that story or even have them in their homes in Sweden. You know, it'd be interesting.
Now I know.
Yeah.
That's something I have to follow up on, because I think it said that he was from the Mora area in Sweden.
Interesting.
And that is kind of where that Carl Larson pictures are from, in that area too. So I've got to get back there.
Yeah.
And even
Mora, Minnesota has the, you know, the big Dalla, red Dalla horse.
Yes.
I have pictures of it actually too.
Isn't that
amazing? I love Dallas. And I've painted Dallas.
So, I have a few of these.
I love them. And they're really having a moment right now, because even IKEA has a bunch of them. They even have a light shaped as a Dalla, which I'd really like to get. And I have a friend who actually does this beautiful artwork of Dallas. And she's in northern Minnesota. I'll have to link her information on the pod, so if anybody wants to know.
That's another story.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. We'll have to meet again and talk about
in
the future.
I have been to the factory.
Oh, have you? Oh, well, we need to do this again, I think. On that, another topic, but yes.
But I love how so many of these things are interconnected.
Yes, I do too.
I find that amazing.
So do I, and just the history of the people. You know, it's really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, it's been really just a fun time learning about this picture and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think the inspiration, you know, that he had to do this, I feel like was probably a little bit of God involved in that, to give him that inspiration, you know.
Definitely.
Kind of a download from above, you know.
Yeah, and I still think it's a wonderful reminder for families that they really need to pray for their food.
And be grateful.
And be grateful, because it's just amazing how many people don't think
absolutely.
About it, or they just take things for granted.
Yes.
And I think it's so important as a family reminder. But
exactly.
But I think that other people would have a fun time going to the town of Bovee or to the Grand Rapids
area.
They have a historical society. It's at the Itasca County Historical Society in Grand Rapids.
Oh, nice.
And they have a museum there.
Oh, nice. I'll put that information in the notes of the podcast for people,
so
they can see where to go.
Some of the pictures.
And
they're always trying to get more to put together. But I think that a little side note to that is, a guy in his whatever family stuff found one of these pictures.
Sure.
And was intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. And he's from Colorado. And so he had a different picture with it similar. And I still haven't looked it up to
find it.
But it was called the Molstead Grace.
Oh.
And it's a little bit different. It's a serene picture, but a kind of homage to Erik Enstrom.
Oh, interesting.
And an inspiring photograph. And I just love how it's inspiring so many people in different ways. So, they'll have to check that out.
And
it's always fun to have in Minnesota places
go
for day trips or weekend trips. And
I'm a lifelong learner. I just love learning about history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, because when you're young, you don't really appreciate it. But as you get older, I find it so fascinating to learn about.
Yeah.
So
I love it when former students come up and say, oh, I know you know a lot of different things. So it's fun connecting some of the things together.
Aww. That's wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that today.
I enjoy that.
Yeah, and we'll have to connect on the Dallas in some of the Sweden type things too.
Definitely.
So, well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. This has been really fun, and I hope this inspires people to check it out.
Yes, I'm sure it will. Thank you.
Please check out the podcast show notes for more links and information and references from today's episode. Thanks for being here today. Have a great day. Bye. Please follow the podcast by clicking plus follow at the upper right. And if you click the three little dots at the top right, there's also a drop-down menu to copy the link or share show to share with your friends and family. Most importantly, please leave me a review. If you scroll to the bottom of the episodes, you'll see a rating with stars and a write a review prompt. This is truly one of the only ways to help my podcast grow, and it would mean so much to me. Thank you. Love and light, Lori Lynn.